We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
What is up? Hi, welcome everybody to this sucky broadcast. It is Wednesday. I never remember what Wednesday it is. All the days kind of blend together, and that's because I've had a lot of stuff going on. We were off last week because we had technical issues, and I want to apologize for that. But also last week, to make up for that, I released the children's book. So you can go check out Ekta the Liger. That's E-K-T-A, the Liger. You can probably Google it and find it if you want to look for it. And I'll probably put a link on the Sucky Broadcast page because I want to make sure that people find my children's book, because it's important to me that we find my children's book. But also, I want to take a moment before we get started, because we were off last week. I want to make special time to say I've decided to make sure that I thank my sponsors at the beginning of the show and one at the end of the show, and that's how we're going to do this from now on. So I want to make sure that I take a moment to thank Magic Mind, because I'm actually paying better attention today, because every week before the show, I consume one of these shots of Magic Mind. Magic Mind is a blend of different ingredients, all different wonderful things, including organic matcha. Is it matcha or maca? It's matcha, right? It's organic matcha, okay? Which is good for boosting your energy and relieving stress and anxiety. There's also, I have to look up how to say it. It's Bacopa Moniero, which supports attention, cognitive thinking, just working through stuff. And I need a lot of that, especially, you know, writing children's books, doing all these different things that I'm doing right now. And of course, organic lion mane mushrooms, because those help with inflammation if I actually exercise a lot more, which I don't, but they do help with my anxiety and they do help with my neural growth. I have found that I take these in the afternoon instead of drinking. I drink coffee in the morning. In fact, I've stopped drinking coffee in the morning. I have one of these in the afternoon when I'm feeling a little run down, and then I feel great. It's fantastic. And I want you guys to be able to try it. So you can always go to their website, magicmind.com/Bradman. And you're going to be able to partake in a very special deal. It's a good price. You can do a one-time purchase. You can do a monthly subscription, however you want to do it. You should check it out. The coupon code is Bradman20. So go to the website, check out the coupon code. There's always different specials going on with Magic Mind, but I appreciate them. I appreciate everything they've done for me. And I'm all about the mushrooms. I'm all about the mushrooms and the mental health. So I appreciate having better mental health because of Magic Mind. And I do feel like I have a better Magic Mind. Today on the show, I'm doing something a little bit different today. Which is interesting because her name was Reese. I had Reese from TikTok come on and she sang at one point, and I thought that was interesting. But today I'm going to try something different. And today on the show, I've got country musicians, the Reeves brothers on the show. Right here they are. Look at them in all their glory. We got Matt. We got Cole. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us, man. We can't thank you enough.
We had to rearrange the schedule, and that's why we're on a little bit earlier than planned. But that doesn't matter to people who are listening to the podcast. People who are listening to this are just listening to this in their car, and they never come see us live anyways. But it was very nice that we could make the schedule work so we could get you on a little bit earlier. It also frees up my night, so I could do more things at night too. So that's
hey, everybody likes a free night.
Yeah. So and what do you guys got going on, or is it top secret, or can I ask what do you got going on tonight?
We're going to a thing tonight that's been going on years and years and years in Nashville. It's called CRS, and it's the Country Radio Seminar. And so we just we had spaced all about it because we're going to Arkansas tomorrow, and we've been we just got back from Alaska and we've been working here in town. We're flying out tomorrow and then we're hitting the road next week with Craig Morgan. So we've just had a bunch of stuff loaded in. Our schedule got all jumbled up and
I've been sleeping until 4 p.m. every day almost since we got back from Alaska. So
we're jet lagged.
I can imagine that. I mean, because how is the weather in Alaska?
Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as cold as normal. Cold as normal. When we got there, they said y'all are super lucky because it was negative 30 the week prior to when we got there. And it was like 15. One day it was 45 while we were right there. And everybody was like, man, it's summer. It's hot
right
up here.
And it's not even humid, really, right? There's no humidity really at all. And because I drive Uber and Lyft sometimes, and I picked up these guys from the airport once, and they were from Alaska, and they had to roll down the windows, and they're like, it's so humid here. And I was like, it's a really nice day today. I can't believe you think it's that. But I just thought that was funny. So you guys have just been traveling all over the place, and I stumbled upon you on Instagram, and I love anybody who's like, hey, listen to us. We're great. And check us out on Instagram. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's promote you guys because that's what I want to do. So my big question is, how long have you been going? When did you get started on everything?
Gosh, we got started at a really early age. Just a brief backstory. Our dad was an entertainer and he had been doing it for years and years. He had us later in life. And he was 54 when Matt was born and 58 when I was born. And so he moved when I was 4 years old and Matt was eight to a little town called Pahrump, Nevada, to be the house band in a place called the Stage Shop Bar. And his one stipulation of being in the band was of bringing his band to that club 5 nights a week was that we got to be a part of the music and got to be actually come to the bar and be with him during that time. So we kind of had full reign of the bar when we were kids and just went around and became actually really close with most of the bar patrons. There was a lot of just, you know, regulars that came in every night. And that was where we grew up, just hearing country music every night. And our dad introduced us to getting up on stage there. And that got it all started.
Okay. Okay. And I mean, I guess you started out as the Reeves Brothers from the time you were born because you were the Reeves Brothers, but because your brother.
Yeah.
But I guess that would have been a good answer too. So, you just feel like music was in your blood sort of feeling and just wanted to perform. And so when did you have that moment when you're like, oh, we're going, I mean, yeah, cause you're performing and you're doing this stuff and you're at the place where your dad was managing and everything. When was the moment when you were like, oh yeah, we're going somewhere.
Man, we're still looking for the moment when we're going somewhere.
But I think you're going somewhere now. So, I mean,
there was never really a moment where it was like, oh, this is what we're going to do for a job by any means. Like Cole said, we started so young that, it was kind of like the Hank Jr. with the Hank Sr. thing. I think that like, it was like, well, this is just my career from the time that we were little. Like we never had that moment that most probably high school kids have where it's like, well, what are we going to do for our job?
Right.
You know, okay. We were already making money and prior to high school. Cole and I both dropped out. I dropped out in the ninth grade and I think Cole dropped out in the eighth or ninth grade too to go on the road playing music. So that was, we were already making our living as kids and doing that, but we each had our separate thing going. I kind of had a rockabilly band going, doing just classic Sun Records stuff and some things like that. And Cole was out in Nevada at the time, and I was in Arkansas, and he had like a classic country thing going. And we both were sharing the same manager, and he told us, he was like, man, you guys, Cole should move back from Nevada and come back to Arkansas, and you guys should just start up the Reeves Brothers so you're not each paying me, you know, 10%, and you both can just, you know, split the fee. And so that's, we did. And
that's so that a really honest.
The very end of 2013.
That's a very honest manager to be like, oh no, you guys are paying me too much. Here, get together, and then you don't have to pay me as much. I think that's.
He was super honest. Sure. He's one of our best friends even to this day, and And so even though he's not managing us anymore, he's still super tight. He's like a brother of ours.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. And so what, who would you say are your like your inspirations? Who would you say are the people that you've listened to that you, I know that you, I saw something that you posted about more of an older country sound, which is, that's my gig too. That's my, I mean, I say older, but then I'm saying like 90s country is my groove of country, but 80s country too. But like, who would you say are the people that your influences?
Oh, I would say Merle Haggard, Glenn Campbell, Johnny Paycheck, Gene Watson. I know, you know, Matt goes back to a lot of old 60s and 70s country rock stuff too.
Yeah, I'm a big like Flying Burrito Brothers, Graham Parsons, the Byrds, stuff like that. The Gosden Brothers were, it was Vern Gosden and his brother Rex originally before Vern went off and did his own thing. But yeah, ours is, it's funny that most people now are like classic countries, the 90s stuff. And
yeah, right, right.
I, you know, because our dad was so old when he had us that it was like his classic country. His classic country would have been like Hank, you know, Hank Snow and Hank Sr. and even as far back as Jimmy Rogers and Eddie Arnold. And so we just grew up doing like his version of top 40 country, which was the Merle Haggard and, you know, the 70s stuff, 70s and the George Jones and things like that.
Now, I've had the pleasure of being involved when I'm from this small town, Mount Pleasant, Iowa. I don't know, you may have heard of it, because they do this thing every year called the Midwest Old Threshers. Okay. And every year they bring in country music singers for the Old Threshers. And it's a good mix. And believe me, I'm going to send you over to them because you should connect with them. Definitely, for sure. And I used to do all their social media. And the thing was that you'd always have at the first night of the event would be Country Gold. And so you'd have all these older country singers that a lot of them who had unfortunately fell off the bandwagon and had just gotten back or had jumped off the bandwagon, you know, maybe left for a while because of drinking and then came back. That's what I'm trying to say. You had a bunch of these singers. And so I had the opportunity to meet a lot of like really older singers that were just fantastic. And I just love country music, and I love listening to you guys. And I was just very excited that I could be like, how can I help you guys out? Or how can I, you know, just let people know you exist? And so I was like, yeah, come on my podcast, because I've never tried to do this before. So this is new. And so I wanted to take this moment now to play one of your videos. Because one of my ideas was, oh, I'll have you guys perform live. But I think the better thing to do is to just play one of your videos. And so can you set this video up for me? Can you tell everybody about this song and what inspired this song and all that good stuff?
This song, funny enough, what we were talking about earlier, the Stage Shop Bar is the place where we got our, you know, the foundation was built for us, you know, when it came to knowing country music and being a part of that and realizing that, I mean, you can do music for a living. And so I was sitting at the McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, and now it's Harry Reid Airport, waiting for Matt to fly in one night. And I just kind of was thinking about all the times we had growing up there, and I just started writing it. And so it kind of tells a story about the way we grew up. You know, the second part talks about there's Buck and Queen's limousines and all that stuff. And I can remember Pahrump was the last town that the PRCA rodeo went to, where you could get points for NFR. So a lot of the big riders would come, and they would go out afterwards and watch our dad play at the Stage Shop. So I can remember being a kid in Tough Heatherman showing up with one of the local riders, and they showed up in a limo, and he signed cowboy hats all night. So that was kind of, just tells a story about that and the way it was for us growing up. And we put it on our last record.
So this song is called Stage Stop Bar.
Yep.
And we will enjoy it right now. Here it is, right here.
First memory I have is the crying sound of a pedal steel guitar. Smoke in a sealing sawdust on the floor and a slimy red stage stop bar. I ground past cowboy boots shoving all across the hardwood floor. I recall the dim lights, some bar and fights, country music with a line outside the door. Loving you again. Heartaches by the numbers, your cheating heart, misery and gin. PWIs and alibis, telling their wives they ain't where they are. I don't want hell of an education and drag myself into sedation. Hanging out down at the stage stop bar.
Turn this place into a honky tonk.
When the rodeo's in town, y'all, I know where they all go hanging at. There's fucking queens and limousines, western shirts and high-waisted Wrangler pants. The beer's ice cold, there's young and old women that can fit your every need. All the guys are up, the girls are tough, so it equals up to be a honky-tonk nighttime dream. Today I started loving you again. Heartaches by the numbers, your cheating heart, misery and gin. DWIs and alibis, telling their wives they ain't where they are. I got one hell of an education and drank myself into sedation. Hanging out down at the stage stop bar. Well, I got one hell of an education and drank myself into sedation. Hanging out down at the stage stop bar.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. I should also say that was also from a TV show or something. So I don't come sue me, whatever TV show that was on. Nashville, what was that on? It was on. I saw Today, the name Nashville. Today Nashville. Okay, don't come after me, Today Nashville. We wanted to share that segment so that we could share that segment. So, I mean, and that's, you know, you're getting featured places. You're based out of Nashville, right? So you're based out of Nashville. And have you ever, I mean, and you talked about you were different places and then you came back to Nashville, but do you feel like that Nashville is the absolute best place? Like, is that for somebody that is trying to aspire to get into the country music world, do you think Nashville is the absolute, that's where you need to be?
I mean, no. No, I mean, I don't think Oliver Anthony was ever here, and he's the biggest thing right now in country music. So I think it doesn't help on, or, you know, it doesn't hurt,
right?
But I think with the way that the internet is right now and algorithms and everything like that, it's just kind of like whatever takes, you know, over there, and the algorithm pushes out that it just, you know, that's kind of like, that's really your best bet is, you know, for getting fans and getting people to see you right now. It's just that algorithm. And so,
Dan, do you think that for you personally, that's helped you out a lot with Instagram and all that good stuff helping you out a lot?
Just in the last 2 weeks, man, something hit while we were over in Alaska. We've been over on Instagram for about 10 years now. And just in the last 2 weeks, we were just talking, man, I don't know, just nothing we're posting over there is connecting with anybody. And we made probably the reel that you saw. And in 2 weeks, we've gotten, I don't know, I think 20,000 fans over there in the past 14 days. So
we'll see if it helps on March 8th when we release our new single.
Yes.
That's 20,000 people doesn't matter if they don't see it.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, that is true. That is true. Because I there's been a lot of projects that I've been working on. And I'm like, okay, now that everybody's following me, here's my project. So, yeah. But I really do believe it really does help. And I really do believe that people want to see people succeed. I know that everybody thinks there's this negativity on social media, but also especially in the world of country, I feel like people want to see other people succeed. It's much more welcoming to come into the country music world and to be a part of it. So,
yeah.
Have you ever had a bad experience with somebody? I mean, you probably don't want to see it if you did anyways, but.
No, there hasn't been too many. If we have a bad experience with somebody, we'd just kind of not be around them again. So that's the situation. We don't hang out with people that we're not having a good time with. And we've been super fortunate. Justin Moore was the first guy. He took us out on tour with him the year before last, I think. Yeah. And we were out with Justin, and Justin, you know, treated us great out on the road. And then we got hooked in with Craig Morgan. And Craig he's become like family with us. We were just out at his cabin for a couple of days in the middle of the bush in Alaska. And we're out riding snowmobiles with him and his wife. And
oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's everybody that we've met. We wouldn't be around them long enough to know if they were going to be mean or rude or whatever for any length of time, because we remove ourselves from that.
Right. Oh my God. Well, yeah. And that's the way to be. Cause there is a thing where people are like, have said to me a lot, like, oh, you kind of are a hermit. I'm like, I'm not really a hermit. I just choose to just not be around toxic people anymore. It's a new thing I'm trying out since leaving Hollywood and moving to Dallas Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Be around nice people. And speaking of which, when are you going to be in Dallas Fort Worth?
Hopefully soon. You know, we used to come down there a lot and play a place called Mama Tribe, right there in Deep Ellum. And then they built one out in Irving at the Toyota Music Factory. And we used to play the Toyota Music Factory a lot too when Billy Bob Burnett owned it.
Yeah.
Or was a partner in it. And then after he left, we didn't play there as much. We still would play the Mama Tribe there, but we haven't played Dallas Fort Worth in a long time.
Now, forgive me, because I don't know the area that well, and I don't know stuff right, but is the Billy Bob that you're talking about the Billy Bob that has Billy Bob's place in Fort Worth at the stock?
He's the one that started it.
Okay, he started the one that's so it's named after him. The one in the stockyards is
that was Billy Bob Burnett's place, and then he was there for years, and he left, and he started this the Toyota Music Factory over there in Irving, just a massive music.
Oh, place. Love it! Yeah, great venue.
Yeah,
yeah. Wow, you performed there.
We played there like one of the opening nights of the place, and it was funny. Billy Bob was friends with Art. We got another manager at that time named Tex Whitson, and Tex Whitson was Merle Haggard's manager for a stint in the late 70s and early 80s. And so he knew Billy Bob, and we played the first night there, and Billy Bob was like, oh, we're scrapping the plans, and we're not going to book any more bands. We're just going to hire the Reeves Brothers to be the house band here. And I think he was used to not having a committee to talk to, because they were like, that's not a good idea, Billy Bob. But
Billy Bob was good to us.
He was good to us. He kept us, coming back. We were living in Las Vegas at the time, and we were driving to Dallas Fort Worth about once a month to play for Billy Bob down there at that Toyota Music Factory. So
that's awesome.
He was good to us.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know I tweeted out to Jason Pullman from the, and I think you probably already knew him, because he said he already knew you, or he had heard of you or something, because he made a comment that he was like, I love these guys. And I'm like, okay, good. So I hope that when your new album comes out, then I'm hearing some of that on the Wolf, because I know they play stuff like that sometimes.
Because
that's more of they do play a lot of the older stuff too, a lot of the older style of country. So I like I listen to them a lot. So since I've moved back to, well, not moved back, but since I moved here to Dallas Fort Worth, I have started to consume more country music than I. And I grew up in rural Iowa, so I consumed a lot of country music when I was in rural Iowa. And working with the Old Threshers people, that was another thing where I did consume a lot of country music, and there was, and met a lot of great people, like Jake Ryan. Is that right? I'm getting names. Who sang the Blue Jean songs? Blue Jean Nights. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Jake Owen.
Jake Owen. Yeah, I'm getting everybody's names merged together. Jake Owen showed up at this Old Threshers thing and got top 10 when he was there. Like, he was, they announced him that he was on the top 10 charts when he was there. And meanwhile, I believe we were racing lawnmowers at the time. We were racing yard lawnmowers at the time when he found out that he was all of a sudden, you know, top of the charts. So just a fascinating history, and it's great stuff. That's why I do want to connect you with those guys, because they're great. But so when you get your ideas, so you were talking about your songs, and you're talking about the Stage Top song, and the idea came from you because it was your experience growing up and everything like that. Where do you get? Is that where you get a lot of your inspiration for your songs from, or just how does the process work for creating the album?
Yeah, most of the stuff that we write is pretty real world experience, especially when it's when it's just either one of us writing it solely. It's a different kind of experience when we co-write. You know, we'll more have an idea that we've got in our notes, or, you know, a little snippet of something, and, you know, that may not be as close to the heart as something. I feel like something that's real close to our heart, we usually write, you know, pretty like individually, you know, without any help. And just so it doesn't go off the rails, because in a co-write, a song can go off the rails pretty quick in a direction you may not want it to go. And so if it's something that's close to you, try to hang on to it. But yeah, all that stuff, a lot of that stuff on the last Honky Tonk record. In fact, we've got a podcast, the Brothers of the Road, and we just did an episode about a bunch of the songs on there, and a bunch of them was, Cole was going through relationship problems at the time with a current girlfriend, and then a girl that he started kind of just hanging out with. And so probably three or four of those songs off of there are about that, just Cole's relationship problems, or going down the road and grabbing a bottle of Jack Daniels or something, you know.
And when you write them, and do you ever write a song and you're like, you sing it? Like, do you ever have like, do you always like tend to like write the song and sing your own song, or do you like to? Like,
yeah, we always mix pretty up. Well, we always pretty well, if whoever writes the bulk of the song is usually who's singing it. There was an Eagles song that we wrote with our cousin Scott Reeves, that he's actually our manager now, and he wrote Toby Keith's last number one hit, Made in America. But we were in a songwriting meeting with him and a guy named Mark Narmore, who wrote That's What I Love About Sunday for Craig Morgan. And while we were writing it, Cole was actually singing the song. It was kind of our little tribute to the Eagles. And then when we went in to record it, I ended up singing it. And that was one of the rare times where that kind of happened that way, though.
Have you ever had a time when you're just like, I love you, my brothers, but no, this song idea isn't a good idea? Did you ever
all the time.
Okay.
All the time. That's probably why we like writing individually.
That's how I feel, because I do a lot of screenwriting, and sometimes I'll write something and I have a team that writes too, and then I'll show my stuff and they'll tear it apart, and I'm like, I could fire all you guys in a minute. Yeah. Don't criticize me. But so you've got, is there any goals on where are some of the places you performed? Let's start there. Where are some of the places that you have performed? I know you were talking about at Toyota Music Factory. What's some of the bigger venues you've been at?
The Pensacola Bay Center, Pensacola, Florida. The First Security, First Security National Arena in Billings, Montana. The Butte, Montana, whatever their college baseball stadium is there in Butte. We played that. We played, I know there was a couple more arenas that we played.
Yeah.
Justin. And then the University of Arkansas Little Rock Basketball Arena. Places like that. Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa.
Okay.
Various, all of the opening, all of them were opening slots when we were out with Craig and Justin Moore. Craig Morgan and Justin Moore. So all their places, they would mainly play, large theaters and arenas, like hockey arenas and things like that.
Okay. And now, so let's talk about this, because this is my TMZ side of everything. So Cole, you're currently in a relationship, I think is what Matt said. I believe is what I took from that there was a previous one and there's a current one, and you've been writing about both. Matt, are you currently in a relationship?
I actually am the one that I'm current. Cole is not in a relationship.
Oh,
I don't know. So Cole,
okay. So
I was talking about during the last talk.
Okay. So you were right. Okay. So that's fine. That's fine too. I thought it was in present tense when you said, okay. So that was the interesting thing. I was going to ask you about, do you, tend to have any female fans like that are like, hey Cole, what's up, or hey
yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, is that do you find that the ladies appreciate the country music?
Yeah, I guess so, okay. Just all depends. Yeah, I get people that it shows that come up and want to visit, and girls that are into what we do, I guess. I probably make myself more out there than anybody else does, because I try to go out and talk to everybody and introduce, go out and meet all the fans. So, and we do end up, usually after all the bigger shows, we end up sitting out and signing autographs and taking pictures for an hour or two after the show. So
that's good. Don't ever change that. No matter how big you get, don't ever change. Well, you might have to at some point, but.
Oh, personally, that's my favorite part. I like going out and talking to everybody and out.
Yeah, that's, and I know that's the one thing that fans appreciate the most. I've seen so many times where somebody has like done something where they've taken the time to sign autographs and talk to people. No matter how annoying it is and how crazy some fans may get, they're still like, oh, it's nice to meet you, and they've been great. And I think that's important, for because some people lose that. Some people start to lose that, and then you're like, oh, why am I still listening to this person sing? Because they've kind of forgotten that they're where they're at now because we took the time to listen to them back in the day. So
yeah. No, that's fun. As long as they're friendly.
Yeah.
That's all that matters to me. Sometimes you get them when they're drinking a lot, but they're at a concert. That's what they're at. That's okay. What they do is go hear country music and drink. So
okay, Cole, then how many breasts have you autographed in your lifetime?
Oh, gosh. A couple?
Yeah.
Okay. Not as many as people would probably think. I mean, there was that person, and it was hilarious. There was, I'm not going to say where we were because it would give it away, but there was actually a sheriff that came up one night with his wife, and he goes, will you guys please sign my wife's chest? And, what are you going to do when the sheriff, we didn't want to get arrested.
Right. That's great. And he knows the rules and everything. So that's good. Yeah, that's great.
He knows the law. We just laughed. And she was like, I really want you to sign our chest, my chest. So we laughed. But yeah, it's not a normal occurrence.
Okay.
And I prefer it not to be, honestly.
Okay. No, I totally understand that. I'm just, all of my knowledge of country music comes from of the country concert scene, either comes from, not saying that I saw it when I was doing Old Threshers and stuff like that, but like when I see the movies and stuff like that, that's a lot of where my ideas of how crazy the fans are. Have you ever performed like at like a NASCAR race or anything like that? Any sort of event sort of like that?
No, but we'd love to.
That would
NASCAR
be awesome.
Race would be, that'd be a good time.
Right? That'd be an amazing time. I think that would be a great time. And have you ever thought about, I know, so you write from the heart, and I write from the heart sometimes when I do stuff, but there are those moments where I'm like, I'm going to write this because I think this will go viral. Have you ever had that moment where you're like, I think if we put that song out there or we put this specific thing out there, somebody's going to really latch on to that. And how would you feel if that happened? How would you feel if like one day you woke up and, because is your music available that people can like, or is it going to be available that people could like dance to it on TikTok if they wanted to like use it in the background for TikTok and all that stuff?
I don't know. I mean, we post stuff with our music on it. I guess if somebody wanted to dance to it, they'd be welcome to.
Encourage it. I put out a rap song a long time ago, and I'm like, do a dance contest, and I'll give somebody a prize. And it went over the place. It was a good time. But I'm saying, you know, if you got something where you're like, hey, country girls, shake it. Here we go, and then they love it because people love to dance on TikTok, and especially if it's a catchy tune, you guys have some good stuff. So,
thank you.
And so people can find you.
TheReevesBros.com.
Yeah.
The Reeves Brothers on Instagram, The Reeves Bros on TikTok. They can find us on Spotify under The Reeves Brothers, Apple Music, Google Play, Amazon Music, Pandora.
Man, you guys are all over the place. That's what's awesome. And so your new album drops on the 8th of March.
Our new single, "Drinker Off My Mind," drops
okay.
on March 8th.
Next, so a week from today.
Yep.
Oh, is that a week from today or
no?
It's not. It's a week from Friday, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Friday, because we'll be in Fort Myers, Florida that night, opening for Craig Morgan.
Oh wow, yeah, how exactly did you get involved with Craig? Just he approached you, or
no?
You have a good manager.
Our first cousin was the gentleman I was talking about. Wrote Toby Keith's last number one. We grew up watching him. He had a band called Blue County back in the early 2000s that had some pretty good success in the country world there. They had a two or three top 10 singles. And so we grew up watching him and going out to his shows. And then years kind of went by where we just didn't have any contact. I mean, we could have contacted him, but we were busy and he was busy, and we just kind of were going crazy and they'd lost contact with each other essentially. And the catalyst for us meeting again was his dad, our Uncle Joe, passed away. And at the time, our dad had Alzheimer's, and so Cole and I, on kind of our dad's behalf and the rest of our family's behalf that couldn't be there, we went to Los Angeles to his funeral, and while we were there, we reconnected with him, and he had been following what we were doing out, just playing it really anywhere, Hell's Angels bars out in the middle of the desert, you know, wherever. We were just running and gunning wherever we could get gigs and make a living. And he said, man, I would love to come out and kind of film what you guys do. And
his wife had been pressing him to do it for some time. And
yeah.
She had been following us on Instagram, and she wanted him to go out and just document things. So that's where it all started, was him coming out and documenting things. Is he was going to put together like a documentary to pitch to a network. And then after that, he invited us to come write some songs in Nashville. And through that, it turned into him managing us. And then he was friends with Craig, and he was looking for us after we got off the Justin Moore tour to get us on another tour. So he sent some stuff to Craig and said, hey, you know, would you check out these guys? and they're my cousins, and they just got off Justin Moore's tour. I'm trying to get them some stuff, and Craig actually asked him to come over to his house to have a meeting, and he said, "I really want to talk about this because I think there's something to this on a sizzle reel," which was just us setting. We actually went back to Pahrump, Nevada, and went back to the Stage Shop Bar, and he interviewed us and had us tell our story there. And the single wide trailer that our parents lived in when we were kids behind the bar is still there. So we went out and got to talk about it and kind of show where we grew up. And Craig really thought that was neat because there was a story there. And so he got with our cousin Scott and said, "Man, I'll definitely take him on the road, and I'd love to, you know, help out in whatever way I can." So Craig's actually been helping out a tremendous amount too between him and our cousin Scott.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's just a great story. My goal in life is, let me tell you a story. And I always tell this story pretty much every week, is that, so my 50th birthday is coming up on September 24th. And that's 9/24 of 9/24. So for me, that's a big number deal. And I'm all about numbers and stuff like that. So I've been doing this like daily vlog, and I've been doing this bucket list. And I was thinking about doing a party on the weekend, but there's the Cattleman Baron's Ball is that weekend, and I don't want to interfere with that because I actually want to go to that if I can, because I think that'd be cool. That sounds cool, right? Cattle Baron's Ball. And I'm like, how do I get into that? And I need to make sure I can get into that. So I was thinking about legitimately just having my birthday on my actual birthday, which is on a Tuesday, and having a party that night. And so I was going to try to figure out how to hire you guys, because I thought that would be cool. I'm working on a venue now. So I put in the feelers because I asked you about pricing and stuff like that earlier on, and that was for something else. But then I thought, you know what? Maybe this would be a fun thing to do, because I just think it makes me look cooler if I have a van there or whatever. So story for me is I know Collective Soul, I know Lisa Loeb, I know a lot of these others, like these 90s musicians from projects that I've done with them and stuff like that. So my bucket list was I was going to reach out and be like, "Hey, Lisa Loeb, will you sing a song at my thing or whatever?" But I want a band there too. So yeah, it'd be a very weird mix, right? It'd be Collective Soul, Lisa Loeb, and the Reeves Brothers. That'd be great.
Hey, wouldn't be the craziest thing we've done. We've done duets with Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys. So we're
everything. Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. And I mean, let's talk about that. Is there a dream duet or a dream collaboration that you want to manifest out there into the universe?
Every country singer's dream duet should be with the king of country duets, and that is Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson
is a dream country musician's duet. I would think, I mean, he's known for doing duets with people.
Yeah.
Aside from that, living, you know, I'm Gene. I think Gene Watson is the greatest living country singer.
I'd love to do a duet, a foursome duet with the Bellamy Brothers. Because
oh, really?
Bellamy Brothers.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to do a tour with the Bellamy Brothers.
Brothers from Another Mother.
The Brothers from Another Mother tour.
Okay, so Bellamy Brothers. Oh. That was a sign because the light just went out. Can you guys still hear me though?
Well, I can see you. I can hear you.
That's the sign.
Okay. I thought it might have knocked out the microphone because I heard a beep all of a sudden. That was a sign. That was a sign right there. That lamp fell over. Bellamy Brothers, if somehow you stumble upon this, I'll tag you in like a tweet or something. If you stumble upon this, there you go. The Reeves Brothers want to tour with you. So let's make that happen.
Tour, we want to do a duet with the Bellamy Brothers.
Yeah, let's do tour and duet. What about a female artist?
Oh boy, I gotta tell you, I mean, a Dolly Parton.
I was just gonna say, Dolly Parton is essentially the Willie Nelson of duets when it comes to
either
the female
artist. Dolly or Emmylou Harris or Alison Krauss.
Emmylou Harris would be great.
Yeah, any of those, they're all like angels.
So, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. Did you see? This is just totally random, but American Idol this season. Did you see that? I think it was Tammy Wynette's granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like this girl was like, I think it was Tammy Wynette, or it was I don't think it was Loretta Lynn. I think it was Tammy Wynette. I don't know who it was. But anyways,
she
was singing, she was talking, and she was being very nonchalant because I don't think she wanted people to know. But I think it was the whole producers at ABC were like, no, we're only going to put you on if you say who your granddaughter, who your grandmother is, or whatever. So they did a whole segment about that, and it was, and she sounds great, and she's got her own style. I think she's moving on in the contest for American Idol. So, and that's what I like. Do you like? Because I do like that shows like American Idol and stuff like that let people be country singers. Well, sort of, because I think that Kelly Clarkson kind of was a country singer, and they kind of moved her over into the pop world in the thing. But a couple of them, Carrie Underwood was on American Idol, right? And she got to say where she's at. But I think, like, it's nice to see these shows where and it's just in general, it's nice to see how country music has really been is more mainstream than, like, when I was a kid, everybody was like, oh, country music, blah, blah, blah. I don't like country music. And now it seems to be a very, well, and also I'm in Texas, so maybe that's why I think it's different. But I mean, just in general, I think that as you get older and you get wiser, you realize how important country music is. You go through phases. Yeah. So you go through your early childhood and you're like rock and roll and rebellion, and then you get married. And then you're in lovey, lovey pop. And then you get divorced and you start out angry with Eminem and then you move over to country. Like everybody. I just love your guys' sound. I love everything about you guys. And I want people to know that you're there. And I mean, you've already got a huge following. You don't need my help in any of this stuff because you're.
Brother, we take whatever we can get, man. And we appreciate you doing this very much. Well,
that's fine. But if you guys ever need me for backup, I'm there. I'm quite the singer. So
yeah,
I'm ready for it. I think I was at the show the other day I was doing that brunch at this restaurant and this band was playing and they were singing a lot of the older country songs. And I was kind of like, I want to sing. They wanted female singers to show up and sing. And that's fine too. I appreciate that. But I love country. I think maybe I love it because I can sing it and it's in my range. So that might have something to do. But is there any other things that you want people to know about, places you're going to be coming up in the future that you know you're going to be performing in the near future?
And if y'all are around the Arkansas area, the Bentonville, Arkansas area, we're going to be doing ever since the night that Merle Haggard died, we've done a full 4-hour, 3 to 4 hour show doing nothing but Merle Haggard songs. And so this is our ninth annual Merle Haggard Fest. And we do it every year on his birthday. And his birthday happens to be the day he passed away, April 6th. And so we're going to be at the Meteor Guitar Gallery doing that this year. And so it'll be a good show because we also have Merle Haggard's guitar player, Eugene Moles. He was the first replacement for Roy Nichols in Merle Haggard's band. Eugene will be with us on guitar.
And Snell will be on pedal steel. He was real, real close with Merle and actually played with Merle at different times in Branson and got up and actually got a pick with him and is still to this day dear friends with Norm Hamlet, Merle Haggard's pedal steel player. So we'll have him. And then a guy named Sean Oler will be guest starring as doing a performance, singing some Merle Haggard.
Yeah, it'll be good. So
And I just saw that it's like 6 hours away from me. So that might be, I might swing over by.
Come on, Brad.
I love Merle Haggard. And I've only been to Arkansas once, and that was to drive through Arkansas, and that was insane.
You got to come spend some time there. It's beautiful.
Okay. All right. I will talk to you guys about that because especially in April, that's going to be a good time. I'm trying to do more stuff. Like I said, I got a bucket list. I'm trying to get out there and be more motivated and everything for.
Get it.
Now you get down there, we might make you call the hogs, but.
I have had my good times of, I've had to castrate a few pigs in my life. I've had a few pigs try to bite me. My grandfather had a pig farm when I was growing up. So I can get ready. I can do some suey if I have to. I don't, I haven't done it in a while. I can't be like, Sue. I can't. pig. It's been a while. So I had my share of runs that I got to play with when I was a kid. So,
Dude, that's amazing.
That's the nice thing about, I think that's the nice thing that has kept me grounded is that I grew up in a small town in Iowa. So no matter where else I've been in my life, I'm still an Iowa boy deep down. So
I love that.
So, all right. Well, and again, everybody can follow you on your website, thereevesbrothers.com.
Yep.
And
thereevesbros.com.
Thereevesbrothers.com or thereevesbros.com.
Thereevesbros.com.
TheReevesBros.com. Okay, so I will make sure I link that correctly on the website. Am I sending somebody? I think I put in the right thing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I put in the right website. Is there another Reeves Brothers out there that I need to that I didn't?
There's Reeves Brothers Trucking.
Okay, good. No, I didn't tag a trucking company, so I think we're okay.
Yes, we followed their semi one day for about 2 hours on Highway 40 and tagged them on our Instagram saying they were. They were carrying our merchandise.
Right. That guy's that's our tour truck right there.
Yeah, that's our touring semi.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I hope that you maybe get one or two new followers and listeners from this. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I'm going to be following your journey. I'm always going to be talking to you. I hope that Jason Pullman from the Wolf gets you on and talks to you, because especially when your single's coming out, because I think that'd be great. And I'm going to tag him again in a message and say that. And I'm going to be one of your guys' biggest cheerleaders. I promise.
Because thank you, brother. We appreciate that, brother.
Nothing but the best for you, because I feel nothing but good energy from you. So
thank you.
I love it, guys. And so I'm going to let you go. And I was going to say, I used to say goodbye to people when they're in the thing, but I'm going to let you, like, I know you guys have got stuff to do. So I appreciate you guys being on today and being part
thank
of the
show. Thank you so much. We can't thank you enough for having us on here.
Thank you, everybody. So please, everybody, follow the Reeves Brothers, thereevesbros.com. I'll put that link in the description for the video, because they're fantastic. And I love them so much. They're great. They're very talented. And I'm getting ready to wrap up the show. So I just wanted you guys to, let's take a moment to thank one of my other sponsors for the show, The Brass Tap. The Brass Tap offers over 150 craft beers from around the globe in an upscale neighborhood bar atmosphere. They carry almost every craft beer of almost all the Texas breweries, from Roll Town Beer Works to Tufts to Pedicles Brewing to all those places. You know what, guys? Let me show you something real quick. I don't know if I can show you this or not. And this is going to be something where you're going to have to watch this on Spotify if you want to see it. Let me find it here. Because it was just something recently, and I'm doing something differently than I usually do with the Brass Tap, and that's that I had a chance to it's not gonna let me do it. Maybe it is. I had a chance to go to the Brass Tap this week and enjoy brunch at the Brass Tap. I was in the Crossroads location. There's tons of great locations, but let me show you something, okay? This is behind the scenes at the Brass Tap, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to show this video or not to you, but I just want to show you all the kegs of beer. They're all computer. This Owen is not going to let me do it because it's not the right format. I got all excited. I was going to tell you guys this, but listen, the Brass Tap is great. They have brunch on the weekends. They have music on Friday, on Saturday nights. They have happy hours, the longest running happy hour in all the DFW area. Select $5 drafts, discounted shots, $6 wine, $7 special drinks of the week, along with food. Great food. Good priced food as well. So seriously, check it out. Lots of locations. Allen, Prosper, Sashi, Richardson, Frisco. Crossroads is the new location. That was the one I went to. Listen, I'm going to Crossroads this weekend for brunch again, because I had such a good time last time for brunch. I'm going to go back again because they had this thing. It was incredible. It was the blackberry jam grilled cheese sandwich, a blackberry farm grilled cheese sandwich. It was cheese and bacon and blackberry jam and on a grilled cheese. They also had chicken and waffles, and they made my Nashville hot, which I love too. And just check them out. And if you go to the Brass Tap and you mention this sucky broadcast, then you're going to get an appetizer of your choice. One free appetizer of your choice just by mentioning the Brass Tap. That's in any of those locations that I mentioned. Allen, Prosper, Satchi, Richardson, Frisco, and Crossroads. So go check it out. And that's it for the show. I want to thank the Reeves Brothers again for coming on. Make sure to follow them at thereevesbros.com. And we will be back next week with another episode of the show. Jeffrey Gurian's coming on. He's a comedy legend. He's going to be on the show next week, so I'm excited by that. And stick around. And enjoy the rest of the week. And I hope that if you can, check us out live next time. Come visit us live. We're usually on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock Central Time. We came on a little early today to work around the Reeves weather schedules. But I love you guys. And I do. I love you guys. And I appreciate everything that you're doing and everything that you've done to support us. Make sure you follow me on all my social media especially. And check out my daily vlog. I do a daily vlog. It's at bradman.tv/blog. And you can find all that stuff on my YouTube channel, Bradman TV, my Instagram. Go check out my book. I'll put a link to my book in the description for this. Go check out Bradman the movie. It's on Tubi now. If you haven't checked that out yet, go check that out as well. There's a lot of stuff going on in Bradman's life, and you can be a part of it. I love you guys very much. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.